Turn with me this morning to the first book of Lamentations. It's kind of an extension of last week. It's still a wonder how the Lord does things. He said the wheat and the tares grow up together. And how that the preaching of the word makes some mad and it makes some glad. And there isn't any in between. But the Lord, as we read last week, His word going out, and it's going to accomplish that which He sent it to accomplish. So our rest is in Him. I'd like to read a verse or two here in the first chapter. In the first verse, said, "How doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How has she become a widow that was great among the nations and the princes among the provinces? How has she come tributary?" Or she has to pay tribute. These things we're going to read today, I believe, are quite relevant to our time. It looks like sometimes things are hopeless. We ourselves wonder sometimes, what in the world is wrong, you know? That there isn't more people converted or more people come and hear the word and worship. But we look at the old Israel, and we wondered all the things that happened with them. And then we look at our day, and I don't know if it isn't worse than it was with Israel. Lord continues to send out chastisement for His people, but He also sends punishment to the whole world. And His people are in the midst of all of that confusion. And it's so hard sometimes not to believe a lie, the lie, because it's so prevalent now. I don't look at Facebook very often, but few times I look at it, there's always a bunch of religious stuff on there that doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Everybody's religious. But very few of them are godly. But it's just on every corner now, people trying to teach us. And the most staunch and stern teacher is those that are against the sovereignty of God. They'd tear it down any way they can. So these things we're going to read is kind of relevant to us in that respect. And said, "She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks, and among all her lovers she hath none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. Judah is gone into captivity." Our country has gone into captivity. It started out looking pretty good. It's a start. We go back and look at the history of it, and that's the reason to come here, that they could have the liberty to worship. And it's just gone downhill, look like, from then. Judah's gone into captivity because of her afflictions and because of great servitude. She dwelleth among the heathen. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the straits. The ways of Zion do mourn, because none come to the solemn feast. Look at us. Yeah, look at all our people. Everywhere you look, little churches, they just little. Just very few people. It'd be one or two come and then they're gone. They come a day or a time or two and then they're gone. You know, looking back too, most of what we once thought were churches that looked pretty comfortable and had a good many people in them, and they're all gone too, most of them. People that we started out with in a little church over there, it started Paul and Dorothy's house, and it looked real promising. But you can't hardly find any of those people now. They've all gone a different way, different direction. So I tell you something about the truth of it and what people nowadays believe is salvation is simply not so. And it causes those who do know better to mourn as these people we're reading here. It's a lamentation, yeah. A lamenting over what has happened. Yeah. Her priests sigh and her virgins are afflicted, and she's in bitterness. And then over in chapter 2, verse 5, let's read a few verses here. The Lord was an enemy. He has swallowed up Israel. He has swallowed up all her palaces. He has destroyed his strongholds and hath increased in the daughter of Judah mourning and lamentation. And he hath violently taken away his tabernacle. That's where the Lord's going to meet with his people. And it's taken up. No place to meet, no meeting place. As if it were a garden, he hath destroyed his palaces of the assembly. Lord hath caused a solemn feast and the Sabbath to be forgotten in Zion. That's where it's supposed to happen, wasn't it? And the same thing's true today. And hath despised the indignation of his anger, the king and the priest. There's no peace. Lord had cast off his altar. He hath abhorred his sanctuary. He hath given up into the hand of the enemy the walls of her palaces. They have made a noise in the house of the Lord, as in the days of a solemn feast. The Lord hath purposed to destroy the wall of the daughter of Zion. He hath stretched out a line. He hath not withdrawn his hand from destroying. Therefore he made the rampart and the wall to lament. They languish together. It's kind of like the land we was reading about last week. Didn't have any rest. He's even comparing the wall and the gates and all the building as lamenting also. Not just the people therein, but the whole land is lamenting. People are lamenting now. They don't know which way to go, and there's no peace in the land, none at all. They're all looking for something, but they know not what. Said our gates are sunk into the ground. He hath destroyed and broken her bars. Her king and her princesses are among the Gentiles. The law is no more. They try and teach us that today. It's law. It's done away. It's gone. We get rid of that thing. And if they can figure out how to get rid of death, they will have accomplished it, won't they? It's no more. Prophets also find no vision from the Lord. There's plenty of vision, but not from the Lord. All their stuff's just like I was talking about a while ago. It's little old God will come help me if I get in trouble, and then when I'm out of trouble, everything's all right. We just go our own way then. The elders of the daughter of Zion sit upon the ground and keep silent. They have cast up dust upon their heads. They have girded themselves with sackcloth. The virgins of Jerusalem hang down their heads to the ground. Mine eyes do fail with tears. My bowels are troubled. My liver's poured upon the earth for the destruction of the daughter of my people, because of children and the suckling swoon in the streets of the city. They say to their mothers, where is corn and wine? When they swooned as the wounded in the streets of the city, when their soul was poured out into their mother's bosom, what thing shall I take to witness for thee? What shall I lack thee? What thing shall I liken to thee, O daughter of Jerusalem? What shall I equal to thee that I may comfort thee, O daughter of Zion? For their breach is great like the sea. Who can heal her? Well, there isn't but one answer to that, isn't it? And that's what he was producing here. There isn't but one way. If the Lord doesn't save in all the land, then there is no salvation. Isn't any such thing as going out here and saving people. Lord has to do saving. Matter of fact, church never was given that duty. All it's told to do was preach the gospel. 137th Psalm. Said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. That's kind of our lamenting today, is over the same thing. What could it have been? But it's not. It's just turned upside down. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us myrrh, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. You know, I thought about this the other day when I read this again. All the music that we have today that they call gospel music, it's absolutely a disgrace to the people of God. That stuff they call gospel music today, 99% of it is a lie itself. And you don't have to listen to it long if you got any sense at all to figure that out. And I don't know why some of these, even the heathen, don't understand some of the things that's going on in it. And I think they do, but they will not embrace it. They keep going away. Said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. So that's the prayer of the people that truly love the Lord. And they're lamenting everywhere. Isaiah, the 29th chapter. In verse 15, I guess, woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us? And surely that's what people are saying. Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as potter's clay. For shall the work say to him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say to him that framed it, he hath no understanding? That's exactly what they're saying. In denying the sovereignty of God, that's what they're saying. I've got the power over these things. I'll do what I get ready to do. We were not made. We just happened. In what foolishness. Is it not yet a very little while? This is our only hope. And Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field. And the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book. And the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord. And the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is brought to naught, and scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off, that make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing of naught. Therefore, thus saith the Lord who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale. But when he seeth his children, the work of mine hands, in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name, and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the God of Israel. They also that erred in the spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. So that's our only hope, is that the Lord will come and do his work.
It's a solid hope then, ain't it?
Yes.
There has never been a question that the Lord is going to try it, and that the church is going to try it with him. And in fact, again, we are reigning with the Lord right now. But you know, David, King David, twice was in essence run out of Jerusalem, wasn't he? Some dark days there, some very, very dark days. Days in which, you know, again, it from strictly a human standpoint, it looked like it was all lost. But from God's standpoint, there was a purpose in it. We have to go through these dark days. And then, a sense there's a joy in it, even though it's very trying. And anybody that says he knows the Lord and is not troubled in these days, I'd have to question whether he really knows the Lord, because whether we like it or not, or whether we understand it or not, the Lord is judging this world, and we're in it. And you can't separate yourself from it in that sense. Come out of her, O ye my people, all right enough. And we do, spiritually speaking. But nevertheless, it affects us, and it will affect us both spiritually and physically, materially even. But this is days of lamentation. And as JT said earlier, I mean, churches that we once thought were strong and vibrant are gone. They don't exist anymore. They're scattered. And yes, we had high hopes for that little church we started, and it was growing and was self-sustaining and all those things. And yet, all of a sudden, when the truth came in, what happened? It scattered like quails. And I think Brother Dale knows a little about that, too. And it seems like it has been, Brother Dale, all of our lives. I've seen this church from way back in the mid-80s. There have been times when, I thought the Lord is adding to the church. He is going to make a vibrant church out of this thing. And then all of a sudden, they began to, wander off. And that's happened two or three different times. But nevertheless, but we see, and a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall the great city of Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and the pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. What a commentation. Commentary, but that's what we're going through essentially right now. I'm talking about is in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it has to be. If it did not have to be, it would not be. And so while there's much lamentation, and there should be, we'll get into that as we go through the book of Amos. But nevertheless, we have this consolation that he is the Almighty Sovereign Lord, and he is reigning. And he must reign until all enemies put under his foot. And the last enemy is what?
Death.
It's death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? For the strength of death is what? It's sin.
But that last message in Genesis you asked, I think, maybe not these exact words, but what has been the purpose of the nation of Israel?
Yeah.
Well, this is what's been the purpose. And it makes one get up in the morning. But anyway, we're not in the wrong place.
No. No. That is true. And like I told Brother Ken White one time, he asked, well, what are we doing wrong? Nothing. It's what we're doing right. That's what the problem is, you know, if you want to call it a problem. But that's true. And But, you know, on the one hand, it's sorrow. On the other hand, it's joy. What is it? Glory to God. Hard to understand sometimes the way of God, isn't it? And yet, that's the reason that the world can't understand it. It's because it's contrary to everything that the world has ever thought or said or taught or done or anything else. It's just the opposite. That the trial of your faith, right, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. But before he said that, he says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness. That's what the world doesn't understand. How can you be in heaviness and yet have joy unspeakable and full of glory? But we can. I listened to a man read. They didn't have recordings back in those days, except pencil and paper, but I heard a man read Edward's famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And I sometimes wonder if we don't need to listen to it over and over again. It was a great sermon, no question about it. It was a great sermon, and if it doesn't make you think, nothing will. If that sermon won't make you think, you might as well forget it. You might go on about your business. But anyway, have more to say about that in a little while, the Lord willing.